Take your Bibles and turn to Mark, please. Did you see that? That's borderline ninja right there. Thankfully, this just doesn't come unplugged because that would have been bad. Praise the Lord. Bethel, we have been directly involved in 10 services in the last 8 days. Bethel Baptist Church has been directly involved in 10 services in the last 8 days. How's that possible? Because the world needs preaching. Yep. And we've been very fortunate to have the door open to us in a lot of different avenues. I had a tremendous time preaching a revival, their anniversary service over at Truth Baptist. Had a great time over there. If you can't preach in that little building, you need to just hang it up. That building is just full of life. It's just like Bethel in a container. That's all it is. It is just exciting over there. Brother Teague is doing a great job. They had one saved in the first part of the service. They'd been praying for this young man for months and months, and he got saved. And it was exciting to see that church going forward. It was exciting to see Brother Teague up there picking his banjo. Good night. That was hilarious. But it was a great time to be there. I enjoyed it a lot. And I had lots of funerals this last week. And Bethel, thank you for being a church that has preachers that can go out and preach the Word of God. It's a group effort. And that's what I get excited about, because you folks pray for your preachers. And we do our best to get out there and go ahead and minister. We really, really do. So I'm excited about that. And I tell you what an honor it is to be able to sing with those two men. I hope that we can continue to do that kind of thing. I really, really enjoy that. It's hard for preachers to sing, not because of the, we want to get excited right in the middle of those songs. As far as I go, I want to get excited in the middle of those songs and just have a fit right there. But I know how that would be a little distracting, I think. But boy, thank you, gentlemen, so much for allowing me to sing with you. That's just a great time. I love that. I don't always do the right thing, and I'm not very good at harmony, but praise the Lord, they put up with me, and we get it done. I just get excited about that kind of thing. I'm hoping that we can find the song, Calvary Answers for Me. That's a song that I really want to find, have John and David sing that with us. But take your Bible, Mark chapter 9. Let's all stand together. I'm going to read one phrase of one verse. One phrase of one verse. This is going to be quicker than a sit-up. For some of us. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, the very last statement in this verse, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's the only statement we're going to talk about today, because there are times when we worry about how well we believe. Amen? There really is. I'm going to try to help you today. I'm going to try to help you to figure out why. Why is that? Why do we sometimes have a hard time believing in God? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Josh Sells, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for coming this morning, Time Change Sunday. And generally, a lot of folks use that as an excuse to be late or to not come. But I'm glad that you did not use that as an excuse today. This story, this actually happened. This isn't just a story. This actually happened. But this portion of Scripture is a dad. This dad has a child that is very, very sick. This dad has a child that needs help, and it's a very big issue. And if you think about your lives, I'm sure that you can come up with something that is similar to this, that parallels this. It's a big issue in your life. We as preachers and people that are Christians for a while,
We preach to you, have faith. We preach to you, you must believe. We preach to you, must not doubt. But by the end of this message, I'm going to help you as to maybe why sometimes you have those things. I was very fortunate. I didn't doubt my salvation when I got saved. I didn't doubt it. I was very fortunate that way. A lot of folks do doubt it. And I'll help you on why you even do that. That all stems from the same place. It all stems from the same thing. And if you're saved in here today, if you know the Lord as your Savior, the Lord has granted us a measure of faith. Every single one of us has the measure of faith. We have that inside of us. But I'm going to explain to you why, and it's written right here in these words. It's shown in these words, and I can help you a little bit because this will release you and give you a thought of understanding why. Have you ever thought about why? Why do you have such a hard time believing? Why do you have such a hard time having faith? Why do you have such a hard time with that? You know, it's not uncommon. Matter of fact, if folks would be honest, every one of us in this room have doubted. Doubted something. If you say you haven't, you are a liar. Every one of us has, and I'll show you why, and I'll tell you why. This is a man that if you look at this verse, I'm going to break it down into five parts. The first word of this verse is Lord. This, I believe, is a believer. This man, I think he knows about Jesus Christ. I think he's accepted him as Savior. And the vast majority of you in this room, I believe, have accepted him as Savior. You know about him. He's in your life. He is the one that's leading and directing. I believe you want to follow him. I believe you want to have a relationship with him. I believe you want him to be part of your life. And this man says, Lord! He puts it in the right perspective. You know what's amazing to us? If you want to take steps toward believing in God more, you've got to put him in this correct place. That's difficult because it's in each and every one of us to grab the bucket and bail the boat out all on our own. It's in every one of us not to put him where he's supposed to be. You know, many times we replace the Lord with something that's more important to us. We replace the Lord with something that seems like it's the right avenue, seems like it's the right thing to do, yet we've never had the Lord in his correct position, and that should be leading our lives. That should be number one, beyond the preachers, beyond your lay people, beyond the deacons, beyond all. It should be God first. He's put him in his correct position. He's put him in a position that God can do something with him. Because I've got to be honest with you, if you don't put God in that place, God can't work with you. If you put God after ESPN and SportsCenter, he can't work with you. If you put God underneath your magazines and you put God underneath your newspaper, I promise you he can't work with you. You've got to put God first. You've got to make God in that position. We start out to fail because we have something else above God. We have our job above God. And I'm talking about good things, am I not? We have our baseball programs above God. We have our football programs above God. We have the Super Bowl above God. We have everything. If you can list it down, and by the way, none of those things matter a lick, but we seem to always let them replace the Lord. Come on now. I lost them already, preacher. I'm only on the first word of this little passage. If you want to figure out why you doubt so much, it starts out with where's God at? Where's God at? In your life, where do you put the Lord? Now you can say, well, I've got my kids. I've got to be honest with you. Your kids ought not be above your Lord. I don't care how much you want to give your kids. They ought not be above your Lord. Let me give you another little piece of marital advice. Your spouse should not be beneath your children either. Ever. Your wife, men, your wife should be way above your children. Wives, your children should not be above your husband. You should not care about taking care of your children more than you care about taking care of your husband. And husbands, you should not care about taking care of your children more than you care about taking care of your wife. A lot of our relationships are messed up because our kids call so much. Because our kids desire so much of our time. I'm not telling you to neglect your children. Although they've been telling me that you're going to get neglected soon. They haven't been telling me, hey, I want to neglect my child. I don't want to do right. I haven't been telling you that. I've been telling you to make sure you put your wife or your spouse in their correct position, and then God goes above that. This man, I've gone everywhere. I've done everything. I even asked your disciples to help. You ever had that? I tell you, we went over and prayed with Miss Debbie. We anointed her with oil. I've seen God heal people. I've seen it. I've seen God miraculously heal people. I had full faith and confidence that we went to Miss Debbie that she would be healed. And she wasn't. And she wasn't. God was still in the right place. We put him there. God's will is different sometimes. And as we watch Miss Debbie lead her life, and I know I can touch on a lot of people that have gone through this and felt this way. She has been the one, and I'm sure she's had times where she hasn't wanted to feel this way. Please don't misread me. She's not the most perfect person in the world, but she is a pretty good gal. And she has kept her Lord, number one, even through this trial. She has kept him in his proper place. It's very crucial that in our lives, and I know I keep harping on this, but why didn't we get through our Bible this last year? Because the Lord wasn't in his proper place. I got two amens and a yep. But you know I'm right. And I'm going to keep beating this into you. Why? I don't want to get browbeat in here, preacher. I didn't come for that. Let me tell you something. This is something between you and the Lord that should be more special than anything else. You should have a desire. Don't go by the calendar. Whatever you want to do. Forget the calendar. You hate me anyways over that calendar. I liked it at first, but I hate it now. Your desire should be to put him in his proper position. His proper position is to spend time with him. This man did that. This man put him in his proper position. Lord, I sought out your disciples. Lord, I've prayed. Lord, I've done everything I could. Lord. And if you look at the next one, he says, I believe. You know, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself when things don't kind of happen in your life. Because let's say you've got Lord, number one. The next position, the next thought process is, I believe. Aren't you glad to be a believer? Think about this for a minute. Aren't you glad? Think of this man, even if he loses his child, that child's going to be in heaven someday. Even if all the things in the whole wide world go wrong, we're going to meet together for eternity. Even if everything in the world, Lord, you didn't give me what I asked for. You didn't give me anything like that, but Lord, I believe. And I know sometimes we use that as a side note, as a little joke and a little fun. I believe. Let me explain something to you. When everything's going wrong, you need to hold on to something. You better hold on to that faith, at least that you are a believer. Because this world does not guarantee you, God does not guarantee you that every single one of your prayers is going to get answered every single way you think it ought to. I love that. Lord, I want a Boston cream donut in my hand right now, and if it don't come, you ain't answering my prayers. Well, God said, dummy, take the money that's in your pocket, run on down to Dunkin' Donuts, get yourself one. I made Dunkin' Donuts. I made the donuts this morning. Go get one. And things may not come in your life like you think they ought to come, but that doesn't mean God's not working in your life. We still need to keep him number one, and we still need to believe in him. So many Christians fall by the wayside. So many Christians get wrapped up in the fact that God hasn't done anything for me lately. God doesn't owe you anything. You owe him your belief, whether he gives you what you think you ought to have or not. Is this hard to swallow this morning? Preacher's message tonight will be a lot more happy. He's excited about his message. You've lost your excitement already. But I'm trying to help you to understand at the very end here, why do we go through these times? Why? Why does sometimes I have a doubt? Why is sometimes I struggle? Did you know that there's not a person in the Bible other than Jesus Christ who did not have a doubt or a struggle? We consider ourselves such horrible people. But understand this. Amelia, do you have any doubt in your mind that you're going to heaven? No. Honey, I don't care how bad things get from here to there. And you don't want them to get bad. I don't want them to get bad either. But I don't care how bad they get, how off it goes. Honey, you've got heaven waiting on you. I am a believer. I am a believer. I know that if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. But Lord, I still have a problem. You've got to put him first. Lord, you're number one. I'm amazed at how many people do everything in their power to do anything they can before they ask the Lord for help. I know I've used this illustration before, but a man's on a rooftop, flood comes up, and this, all he's got is this little high ground. He's about to die. Water's coming up, and the water's going to overwhelm him. This guy in this boat comes along. Hey, buddy, jump on in. No, thank you. I'm waiting on the Lord. Helicopter comes down. Hey, jump on this ladder. No, I'm waiting on the Lord. This big piece of board goes by, 17 people on it. Come on, buddy, we're going. No, I'm going to wait on the Lord. Water comes up and he dies, standing before the Lord. He said, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you a boat, I sent you a plank, I sent you a helicopter. What were you waiting on? You know, sometimes in our lives, we don't see God delivering us. We don't see God directing us. But if we'll keep him first, he'll still do it. How good of a God do we have? This man maybe wasn't getting everything answered he thought. Maybe he wasn't getting everything right. And here he goes to these men. He says, I went to your disciples. And the Lord let him in on something. It's not the disciples. It's the Lord. As much as you love your preachers, it's not us. It's not us. If you got a healing from Ernest Angley, you never got a healing. If you got a healing from Pastor Skyver, you never got a healing. If you got a healing from Benny Hinn, wash your head. If you got a healing from these men didn't give you the healing. God did. See, it's amazing to me that we don't put God in his place. And I want you to exalt the office of pastor. I want you to hold up the office of pastor, but not the men of pastor. Because that doesn't put the Lord number one. I believe. Aren't you glad you're a believer? Number three. I want you to notice this. I believe, but it's bigger than me. You ever had something in your life that's just bigger than you? You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. This man, I mean, could there be a relationship that was more important to him at this time? I don't believe there could. He was at a point where, you know, God, I don't know what to do. I've come to your men. I've done everything I can, and yet my son is still messed up. My son is still having a hard time, and I love him, and I'm going to tell you this is bigger than me. This is harder than I can bear. This is more difficult than I can ascertain, but nothing is too hard for you, God. This is too hard for me. I can't live with my health issues. I can't live with the cancer diagnosis. I can't live with all these things. Let me tell you, they may come. I'm quite sure that Miss Daphne did not expect to leave the hospital or has never even left the hospital and have her back surgery fail. I'm quite sure that she did not expect to have blood clots in her leg. But there they are. Some have moved to her lungs and we're getting a little nervous about it. And a lot of folks have gone through things. Brother Sean's procedure went off without a hitch. Is he better than her? No. And we don't know why God does those things, but you've got to keep him first. And you've got to know that you're a believer. And sometimes it's bigger than you and harder than you and more difficult, but it's amazing that we'll do our best to do everything we can to make sure we're big enough. Christians, sometimes we better start out with God. I mean, if we didn't have to go down that road, if we didn't have to face all those difficult things alone, I wonder if we'd be as depressed as we are. I wonder if we'd be discouraged. Oh, I love God on Sunday mornings, but to be real honest with you, I don't necessarily believe in him. Well, you can say that, oh, that's horrible that you say that, but I'm going to tell you, I've watched people do it. I've watched Christians that are mature, spiritually, been saved for years and years and years, not trust God. They tried to do everything on their own. And I'm going to tell you, I've been there myself. Put God first. Hold on to the fact that you're a believer. Sometimes things are going to be bigger than you can do. I would to God that we called him in on everything. Look at this now. Lord, I believe. Help thou. We go there. We really do. After a time. We go there. We'll end up at the altar because somebody came down with a bad sickness, or we finally gave up and realized that it's got to be God now. I've done everything I can, Lord. I've done everything I can to get out of the predicament I'm in, but Lord, now I'm here. Please help me. Help thou, and it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be that you're asking the Lord for help, because I'm going to be honest with you, I believe the Lord wants to help us. I believe the Lord has a desire for you to be happy with your Christian life and for you to be happy about what he's done for you. And I hope and pray that sometimes we don't forget that it's in our weakness that he's made strong. I know you, man, you're tough. It's not soft or vulnerable, man. We're men. We can't do that. We're guys, flex. I flex and my muscles break, my suit's out. Actually, it's the 7 layers of fat wrapped around my arm right now that are breaking my suits out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That wasn't even funny, was it? But you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I would to God we'd be more vulnerable when it came to the Lord. You know, when are you going to stop trying to get this done on your own? When are you going to stop trying to be so incredible? When are you going to stop and let God take over? Let God do things. I mean, Brother Rod, I got to believe there's nothing left for you to do with Miss Debbie. And I don't believe Brother Rod did this. I'm just using this as an example. I got to believe Brother Rod, here it is. We've got to have God now. And I know that he's had faith in the Lord all along. I'm just using him as an example. It's here we are. How many times we say, well, I don't need God. I'll get this done all on my own. I don't need God. I'll take on 17 more jobs to pay for the $18,000 worth of bills I just made. Well, I got news for you. You made the bills. God didn't. And God made make you work to pay that off. Quit making the bills. You won't need all the money. I'm talking to myself. But it's amazing to me, we get to this point in our life and this believer put Lord in the right place. He realized, hey, I'm a believer. Glory to God. Hey, are you a believer today? Lord, I believe, help thou. That's a pretty good outline so far, isn't it? Oh God, help me. It's amazing. The same 7 or 8 people come to the altar every Sunday. Apparently the rest of you don't need help. Ooh, this is not going over well. Why is that? Is it because God can't? Is it because God won't? Is it because the walk is too far? Is it because the padding is not good enough right here for your decrepit knees? Is it that there's carpet tack right here and I hurt my hand on it once? I don't think I'm ever going to that altar again, thank you. Is it you came here one time and God didn't do it? Yeah. I'm hitting home now. Yeah, there you go. Preacher, you're getting ornery and I don't like it. Let me explain something to you. Sometimes it takes more than one time to go to the altar to convince God that you care about his help. Do you really want it? Then why didn't you put anything in here? Now see, you started out with the altar. I can get on board there, but now, you're talking about my money. No, I'm not talking about your money. Put the Lord in the right spot. I'm talking about his money.
You know what? You're just the co-pastor here. We will only take that type of criticism from the big guy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if I asked him to stand up right now, he'd tell you to get the money out. He'd tell you to start tithing. Why? So you're not a curse. Now, let me help you. If we put God in his right spot and ask God to help, and ask God to come into our lives and, Lord, do something. It's amazing how we're at our wits' end. We're at the end of the rope. We can't do anything. I would to God you was only halfway down the rope when you came to see him. I would to God you were only quarter way down the rope before you came to see him. I would to God that you were so close to the Lord, you put him in the right spot, and God knows you. See, you, I know he knows you, but does God know you? Does God see you? Do you frequent his abode? Do you go to visit his throne room? Do you go to see him? I'm going to tell you I'm not going to come to the altar. Why? Because if I go to the altar, my roast might burn. If I go to the altar, you're going to ruin my afternoon. If I go to the altar, preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't stop going past noon, I'm going to stop coming to church. Well, I've got to be honest with you. The only reason we have a clock on the back wall is so preacher says, don't crink your neck. I don't want to stay in church that long. Put God in his place. Lord, I believe, but don't hold me more than 45 minutes. Lord, help, but better make it quick. This is funny, but nobody's laughing, Jim. Hey, God, I want you to help, but I'm not going to go ask the preacher for any advice. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm a believer. I'm going to put you in the right spot. Well, God might ask you to do a few things to get closer to him. Lord, I believe. I'm not going to read my Bible today. I got 75 days behind on my calendar and I just gave up. You gave up after day one, dummy. I lost a day. I'm done. Why do I know that? Because you're 75 days behind. It's obvious you gave up right here. This isn't going over well. Maybe I should quit. Maybe I should stop preaching. We say that we believe. We say that we have faith. But do you know that faith is not a spectator sport? Faith puts action. Belief is an action. I believe. That's an action. That's an action saying, God, this is what I do. Are you a believer? The Bible says, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not sitting up there waiting on you. He's preparing a place for you. Say hallelujah, amen. See, that was a good thing that I just said. Now let me get back to the bad. If he's preparing a place for you, don't you think you ought to prepare a place for him? The only reason I'm saying this is, why don't we have this connection with God? Why don't we have this faith? Why don't we have this belief? Why? 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 Because we don't have God in his right spot. Help thou. But let me make you feel a little bit better. Sometimes we forget. I've done it. You've done it. That it's when we are in the time of our most dire need, when we are at our weakest, we've got nowhere else to go. That's when he is so very strong. Now, I wish that we could improve our weakness to make our everyday weak, to make our every moment weak. You see, that's horrible. Why wouldn't I want to be strong? No, I don't want you to be strong. I want him to be strong in you. Now look at this. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. As we go through this life, we have battles. I've got to believe that you'd agree with that. That you have battles. I got to believe that you wish that you could be good all the time for the Lord. I've got to believe that once you do something wrong, you feel bad about it. I do this all the time, where I do something I know I ought not do, but then there I am doing it, and I do it, and I say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. It's amazing to me how often it's the same thing. Huh? I will never, never do that again. And then you do it because never comes tomorrow. You do it and you don't realize, oh man, I did it again. And then the next day, oh man, I did it again. How did I get 75 days behind on my calendar? Because you said that you weren't going to get behind, but there it is. Amen? Now, this isn't working, Colton, at all. We do it over and over and over and over and over. Oh, Lord God, help mine unbelief. Two factions inside of you. There's two. One is a spirit side. That spirit side that God is, that spirit side that loves the Lord, that spirit side that does things for God, that spirit side that has that desire. But on this other side, can you guess what this side is? This side is the flesh. Now, I know I've said this verse to you over and over again, but this is something you need to know. In your flesh dwelleth what? Now, can I ask you a question? Is this side ever, preacher, is this side over here ever going to believe in God? This side over here is never going to get past doubt. This side over here is never going to get past guilt. This side is never going to get past the things that the flesh has. This side is always going to be there, always, 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 like a dead rotting corpse on your back. This flesh is going to be following you and hawking you and making your life miserable until you get to heaven. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. This is where the unbelief is. And every one of you in this room has that unbelief. Every one of you in this room has that doubt. Every one of you in this room has that guilt. Every one of you has those things because every one of you has the flesh. We're so hard on ourselves. Oh, Brother Dave, you just made me feel bad about myself. But understand this. It's because you have your flesh that you do those things. Because the spirit inside of you, this side of you, this side that believes God, Lord, I believe, this side, it's not the flesh that believes God. It's the spirit that believes God. It's not the flesh that seeks God. It's the spirit that seeks God. Your flesh is going to tell you not to go. Your flesh is going to tell you not to believe. Flesh is going to tell you to go ahead and doubt. Your flesh is going to tell you not to go to the altar. Your flesh is going to tell you to not give money. Your flesh is going to tell you to forget the tractor. Those idiots shouldn't have broke it. That's what your flesh says. Your spirit says, everything that you have, I've given to you. Everything that you are, that prepared place, that is what I've done for you. You can believe me. But it takes God to get you to believe. It takes the spirit side to get you to believe. Your flesh is not going to believe. Your flesh is not going to love God. It's not going to stand for God. It's at enmity. It's greater than hatred. Preacher, why do I have such a hard time believing? Because you've got that flesh and you're allowing that flesh to be superior. That flesh inside of you that tells you, well, my preacher is not as holy as I thought he was. That's flesh. We're full of holes. We are holy. You missed it. It's not that. Why? I've got to read MSNBC. I can't read my Bible. That's the flesh. And let me tell you, I can preach this real easy. This is not easy to do. You're going to be carrying that flesh until you go to heaven. You're going to be carrying this side. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. God has to help you. You don't come to this altar in your own merit. This is what I see, and I've seen it lots of times, where people in their own flesh and in their own merit say, that's right, I'm going to come and get it settled. Here I come. Oh, Lord, you know how good I am. Lord, I want to be stronger. So, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and stop this. Lord, I'm going to stop doing whatever I'm doing. Lord God, here I go. I'm now stopped. And you walk back. And guess what? You came right with it. So did your flesh. And you lose. I know lots. I know lots of folks that do the right things. Coming to the altar is the right thing. Coming to talk to your preacher. I love counseling sessions that mean nothing. They're my favorite. where you come, oh, preacher, I want to give up pornography. I want to, oh, God, I need you. And preacher says, okay, do this. Okay. And you walk away from the preacher and you don't do anything he says. Why did you ask? I'm sure he's got nothing better to do with his day than sit in his chair and listen to you and then not do anything, and you didn't do it. Boy, this is quiet today. Where did you put the Lord? The Lord should be here. When you come to the altar, it's because you want God to help your unbelief. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. The Lord even gets a little bit irritated at his disciples. Why? Because his disciples forgot who was doing the healing. His disciples forgot what they needed to do. With fasting and prayer, these come out. Why? Because you put God first. See, Lord is first. And by the way, after this happens, what does the Lord do? He heals the boy because the man had him first. Now, see, what you've got to understand is this. Why do I have such a hard time believing? Why do I have such a hard time not doubting? Why do I have such a hard time? Because you're giving yourself over to the flesh on this side. Take your Bibles with me for a minute. I didn't have this plan at all. I hope I'm right. Turn to Romans chapter 6. You are not in a position where you have to do... What is the bumping? I hear bumping. Is this me? Is it? Okay. It's all right. I thought my excitement and electricity was coming out. You are not a person that has... that the flesh has control over anymore. Not because of you, but because of him. Now look at this. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6... Knowing this, that our old man, that sin nature, that horrible thing that's on us, that man, that dead thing, that dead rotting corpse that's hanging on your back, that our old man is crucified with him. That part of your life is gone again because of him. Now, we can still let it happen. We can still allow the flesh to control. We can still do all those things. Why? Because we don't put the Lord first. If we put the Lord first, we won't have these battles. Amen? Look at this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You should not. You don't have to, but it's amazing. We are still sinners, aren't we? Because that dead rotting corpse is heavy. Why don't I believe? Because you've got that dead rotting corpse on. I'll give you a good example. Long time ago, we went on that church property and we said, we're going to have 1,000 people out there for a balloon launch and hot dogs. We're going to have 1,000 people. Person after person after person, there's no way you're going to have 1,000 people. Where are they? Huh? They're not putting the Lord first. The Lord could have put 10,000 out there. What can the Lord not do? I mean, come on, seriously. What can the Lord not do? The Lord can do all those things, but we didn't put him there. In the flesh, we said, there's no way. Amen? In the flesh, we say there's no way we can do it. But you're not subject to that anymore. You don't have to be. Look at this now. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Quit serving it. Quit staying there. Oh, God can, but I don't think he will. It's a dichotomy. Here it is. Oh, God can, but I don't think he will. I believe God. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe you. I know you can. Well, then reckon yourselves dead to that sin that so easily besets you. Reckon yourself dead to that. Why don't we see great things? Because you are living here, a believer, living in this place where God won't. Because I believe everyone would confess to you that God can. I believe everyone in this room would say, oh, yes, God can. I've seen it. God can. Certainly he can. But I don't think he will. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, get me out of here. It's going to take God to get you out of there. What does your flesh want to do? It wants to set up a skyscraper and set up office buildings right here. This thing doesn't want to go anywhere. But you spend so much time here, so upset, so irritated, so your life becomes lackluster. Why? Because you spend time in the flesh. You spend time saying, God, you ought to do something for me, and because you're not, I'm going to stay right here. Believer, but this is where you stay. Help thou mine unbelief. Reckon yourselves dead to this sin. Reckon yourselves dead to this. You don't have to serve this anymore. You don't have to be here, not because of you, not because of your greatness, but because of God. Aren't you glad that God took that power of that sin off of your life? You can choose to serve God. You can choose to believe God. You can choose to be happy in the midst of all this chaos. Why aren't we, preacher? Because we have flesh. Look at verse 13. Let's look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to who? Is this a difficult concept? Am I shooting this above everyone's head this morning? Put God in His right place. But yield yourselves unto God as those that, think about this, Christian, as those that are alive from the dead. We are not subject to this world. Why? Because Christ has freed us from that. Don't yield yourselves. You are alive from the dead. I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm free from sin. I don't have to do that anymore. Am I a sinner? Yes. But I don't have to yield myself to this anymore. I can yield myself to this over here with God's help. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, get me out of here. Look at this now. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This flesh, this mortal body, this thing that you carry around with you, and some have bigger ones than others, you can use that as an instrument unto God. God has made it good enough. Not you. Not your abilities. I mean, I'm glad we sang today, and I hope it blessed you. But it ain't us. The moment, if that blessed your heart, it isn't because of our voices. It's because God showed up. And if we start to think otherwise, if preachers start to believe it's because of their power, if preachers start to believe or singers start to believe that it's because of them, how good they are, they're sadly mistaken, and they're going to be over here yielding themselves to unrighteousness. Well, I'm not going to sing because nobody clapped for me. We clap for everything here. If you mess up, I mean, he will still clap. I mean, good night. We clap. I brushed my teeth today. But understand this. What are you doing the service of God for? Do you know that some people serve God and never make it out of here? Do you know some preachers serve God and preach and never get out of the pit of the flesh? Why? Because they're so great. Because they're so wonderful. I'm up here every Sunday shaking like a leaf before I preach. Every service I preach for Truth Pastors, I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm nervous. Why? Because I don't want to mess up for the Lord. It's not because I'm better than you. It's because I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I've got nothing to offer apart from God. Nothing. I've got to put God in His proper place. It's got to be Lord first. Because if I'm over here, it's not going to be Lord first. I'm going to preach what I want to preach. Preachers are hilarious. There's been several times, and I know every preacher in this room has gone through it, that you know what you're supposed to preach. You got it. Oh, this is it. I know for sure. This is the message. Here it comes. And then you get up here, and God says, hey, dummy, that's not what I want you to preach at all. I've heard some say that they ignored him for a while. Oh, no, God, come on, I know. And then God's telling you, no, it's not what I want. A good preacher has both sets of notes with him, though. And there's been times when I was up at the pulpit, and there was times that I had the notes that I knew I was supposed to preach that God wanted me to preach, and then I had the notes that I liked laying out. And thank God he put my notes away and took out his. Why do you have such a hard time? Why is it, preacher, that we face these dilemmas? Why do we have these doubts? Why do we have this unbelief? Why? Because your flesh is always going to be with you. Your flesh does not want to believe. Your flesh does not want to be happy. Your flesh does not want to serve God. Why do you have a hard time coming to the altar? Because you let your flesh win. I know that there's been several times my heart was beating so bad. I wanted to get up there, but I knew if I came that it would make things go longer. I love church. Why do I want it to end? How many of you have been to the point where you knew you had to go deal with God, but the invitation was almost over? We've sang 7 verses. John's wearing out. I've got news for you. We've got more voices. We've got more time. We've got more, we want you to come. Why did the altars dry up in America? Because our believers stayed over here. Because our believers never asked for help. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Every one of you have it. Every one of you have that unbelief. You have it. It's in you. Your flesh that doesn't want you to believe is with you. Don't be surprised when you doubt. Don't be surprised when you lack belief. Don't be surprised when you, oh, well, I know I'm not going to see it. Don't be surprised because you're in the flesh. Come on over here where God does, not can, does. And I guarantee you, you put him in the right position, Lord. I believe. And I believe everybody in this room, if you're saved, you believe. You've got that spirit inside of you that does. You've got that inside of you to believe. You do. Lord, I believe. Help thou. I'm going to battle the flesh over this. I need you to help me. Lord God, I went to the preachers. They couldn't help. Oh God, listen, we came and prayed over Miss Debbie, Brother Rod, but it didn't seem to help. What we did didn't seem to help. But I'm glad that you know that it wasn't in us. See, that healing is not in us. That healing is not in what we do, what we say, what we touch. That's not the healing. The healing comes from God. Don't trust in a faith healer. They're a sinner just like you. But you can trust in the faith that you have to let God heal. Everything's God. Everything's God. Everything's God. Nothing's God. Nothing's God. Nothing's God. Why do I have such a hard time? Because you're standing over where nothing's God. You believed him for your salvation. That gives you the ability to let him take you over here. You've got to let him take you. Lord, I believe. Help thou. Why do I have a hard time? Help thou. Help thou. Lord, please get me out of this. I want to believe you. Have you ever said that? In your own prayers at home, in your own closet, have you ever said, I want to believe you? Lord, help me. If you've never said it, and you've never thought to yourself, why? Then you're living here. Get out of here. Let God take you out. Because God's answer waits over here. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine. It's not his unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I pray they would see great, wondrous miracles. But Lord, I want to see them. I really do. But to be real honest with you, Lord, I just want to see more personal relationships. Lord, to me, I just want to see people trusting you more. Lord, I want to see people getting out of that flesh. I want to see people knowing that this man is crucified with Christ and we don't have to obey him anymore. Reckon ourselves dead to that. And Lord, realize that it's you that are taking us out of that. And yield ourselves unto the Holy Spirit. Yield ourselves unto God. Yield ourselves so why? So we can put you in your proper place. being strengthened believers because of you helping our weakness. Lord, I believe you'd be well pleased if we sought you out more. I believe you'd be well pleased if we gave our life over to you, Lord, and allowed you to direct us. I believe the things of this earth would grow strangely dim. I believe the things that are plaguing us would go away if we would just put you in your proper place. If we would give you your due. Lord, if we would allow you to be the leader. Lord, help us today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, I know that I know that I know. 100% sure that I'm a believer. I've got to this point. I'm a believer. I know that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? I know that I know that I know. You may put your hands down. I can't see everybody, so I've got to ask you. How many can say, you know what, I don't know. I don't even know if I'm a believer. You need to get that settled today. It's not going to be your flesh that desires to get saved. It's going to be that light inside of you, that God light inside of you, that light that lighteth every man inside of you. It's that light that's telling you right now, you need to go to that altar. You need to ask me to save you. You need to get saved because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You don't want to do it, but I'm going to tell you that spirit inside of you does. And if you want to get saved, this is the place to do it. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not about how good you are. Don't wait until you get your life right. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation has been paid for. All you got to do is come and pick up the check. So with every head bowed, every eye still closed, how many can say, you know what, I don't know, but I sure would like to know. I'd like to be sure of my salvation. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Is there anyone like that in this room? Then that means I'm talking to Christians. Why do you have a hard time believing him? Because you're battling the flesh. It's always going to be there. Don't feel so bad. It's always going to be there. And you can win. Because Jesus Christ has made a way for you to win. Not of you, not because you're great, but because he's great. I wonder today if you would decide to come up to this altar and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I wonder if there'd be any today that would seek out this altar and ask God to help them. I bet you he would. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the honor and opportunity that is to preach behind this pulpit. Lord, help us. Oh God, we need you. We really need you. Lord, help us to believe. Help us to believe for our everyday lives. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. But Lord, please help us to believe for our everyday lives that you care enough to love us. And Lord, be with this invitation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Preacher, please.
You come as the Lord draws your heart. You come.